Well, we are into our fourth week in our series on prayer. Now, I have a friend, and she's not here this morning, I don't think, but I have a friend who, if I ever said to her, "This is on my heart," she would say, "Have a little talk with Jesus." Now, I'm not quite sure. Chelsea's laughing, so she knows exactly who I mean. She says it, right? When your mother last week was asked, "What's one of your mother's catchphrases?" That is one. That is one that freely comes out of Bev's mouth. Have a little talk to Jesus. As if I hadn't already done that. But she still reminded me to do that. We are into our fourth week with our series on prayer, How to Pray. I hope that you have been finding it helpful in your faith journey, in the confirmation of how you pray, maybe learning new ways of how to pray, or simply just your daily way of praying. Today, our focus is on intercession. Prayer, simply put, talking to God, having an honest conversation as if we are sitting with our closest friend. We can give him praise. We can cry out to him. We can ask him questions. We can lift up every care that we have, every desire. Praying to our Heavenly Father grows our understanding of and strengthens our relationship with him. Intercession happens when we reach beyond ourselves and our needs in prayer for others. So bear with me, because I'm going to take you back over the last few weeks, because I believe that it leads us to what we need to hear today. Week one, Jonathan talked to us about keeping it simple. Keeping it real, keeping it up. Keeping it simple means we don't need to complicate it, make it weird or intense. Just simple. Be honest. Be you before God. God knows you even better than you know yourself. Keeping it real. Be honest in your talk with the Lord, as there are times when life is really tough. Life can sometimes hurt a lot. And we pretend that we often are good, that we are fine. We make a mess of things and then often tempted to hide from God. And yet we're just hiding from ourselves. Be real. Don't hide. Be you. Keep it up, because let's face it, life is tough, tough. The journey of faith is not easy. And yet we have a God who never leaves us and walks that journey with us. Week two, David talked to talked about adoration. He shared with us the things that he adores in life, the sporting teams and, of course, his wife. I would like to say you should have had the Swifts up there as well, but I know that that's something that I adore, not you. To adore is to like something or someone very, very much. Hallowed be thy name means to greatly revere, to honour, to acknowledge the holiness of God. Before any request, acknowledging first God in our lives, all that he is to be adored. Psalm 8, a great scripture to read each day, helps us remind us of who God is and how to express our adoration. And then last week, I wasn't here, but I did watch online, Jonathan talked with us about petition, bringing even the smallest things to the Lord, and often throughout the day. It is in the small things that we learn more how to pray. It's in the small things that we learn more about the heart of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, the Pete Gregg book, which is where our material has been coming from over these weeks, How to Pray, gives us a structure, the P-R-A-Y, that we've been following. Pause, slowing and centering ourselves, our Father who is in heaven. We are taught to stop and be still before God, and this is a good thing to do. Place everything around us aside to stop. But I'm going to acknowledge this morning that not everyone can sit still and pray. There are so many distractions around. Maybe just our bodies simply need to move. Exercise can be an effective way of calming the brain, diffusing stress, stimulating clarity of thought. When we read of Jesus praying, there was so much movement that he did. I'm sure that even walking up that hill, he was thinking and praying to his Father the whole time. How do we centre ourselves in a way that's appropriate for us to be able to be present with God, no distractions? A song by John Oxenham in our songbook reads, "Mid all the traffic of thy ways, turmoils without, within, make in my heart a quiet place and come and dwell therein. Come, occupy my silent place and make your dwelling there. More grace is wrought in quietness than any is aware." Rejoice. The nature of God is given to us through parables and pictures throughout Scripture. A father who comes running with his arms open wide to embrace and love us no matter what we have done or who we have been. He loves us. Do you get that? Do you know that? We read in the Old Testament of Yahweh, the Holy One, Creator, Sustainer. He is on our side. The deeper we receive our identity as dearly loved children of God, the greater our desire is to spend time with the Father, tell him everything, and even dare to ask for our greatest needs. Your Father in heaven loves to give good gifts to those who ask. So amazing that he was to bless us, lavish on us, lovingly attend to our needs. As we talk with the Lord, we move from that rejoicing to our asking. When you pray about the small things in life, you get to live with a greater attitude, which is what Jonathan reminded us last week. Praying for the small things that you start to notice, the minor miracles around that is scattered in our everyday, filling our days with the small prayers, seeking blessings, training ourselves to rejoice always, pray continually, and then give thanks in all circumstances. Now, Jonathan talked to us about that car space, looking for that car space. Should we do it? Is it that trivial that we bother God with it? Is it that if we get the car space that it's only become because the Lord provided it? Who cares? Oh my gosh, who cares? What we are doing is acknowledging God is able to do anything. We are acknowledging that God has heard us. We are acknowledging that God acts on all the big and the small things in our life. It means that we are bringing everything to him. It's not about the car space. It's about the small prayers, that conversation, the trivial stuff that teaches us how to be grateful for all that there is that he provides for us. John 14, 13 says, "Ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Then the Father will be glorified." Matthew 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find it. Knock and that door will be opened." Throughout Scripture, when sick people came to Jesus, they received more than counselling. They were completely healed. Our primary privilege as God's children is to ask audaciously and repeatedly for everything we need, expecting Jesus to answer us by whatever way he sees fit. We are invited to ask him for the basics. He never promises us to be millionaires, and he never, ever has promised us full health. So why pray? Doesn't God, who already knows us, knows our needs before we even speak to him? Bartimaeus could have just sat in the crowd silent and waited for Jesus to see him. But Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus. Jesus asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" I want to see you. Jesus healed him, and your faith has healed you. Simple, right? We're asked to articulate our needs, but not just leave it there. Believe him. Be vulnerable. Make that request. And then yield. Surrender it all to God. Don't try to control it. Don't cling. Follow the guidance and trust that the Lord has heard you and wants the very best for you. He yearns for his people to yield to him, to surrender, to submit to his Holy Spirit so that he can do his work through you. There are times when we do not even know what to pray, and yet the Spirit is interceding already for us. So it brings us to intercession. We've talked this morning and over these past weeks about prayers for ourselves. And yet intercession requires us to move away from our needs and to the needs of others. So my question is, who or what is on your mind this morning? In the words of Richard Foster, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. This then leads us to prayer. Intercession is our way of truly loving others. Throughout Scripture, we're taught that our prayers are powerful. Jesus doesn't just instruct us in the Lord's Prayer to pray personally, give us our daily bread, but for the coming of God's kingdom on earth. In the Old Testament, God makes an astounding promise regarding the importance of prayer at times of disaster. If my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Forgiveness of sin and the healing of land was entirely contingent on the intercession of the people. As we've already heard this morning, intercessors are those who stand before God in the gap on behalf of others. An intercessor mediates between heaven and earth, pleading with God on behalf of the people and with the people on behalf of God. Throughout Exodus, we read often of how Moses interceded on behalf of the Israelites. God heard him and answered with love. Jesus was the ultimate intercessor who stood in the gap for all people, for you and for me on that cross. Who are you standing in the gap for this morning? So there's four simple ways to assist us as we intercede for others. The first one is get informed, engage with the facts. Know all about it or as much as you are able to. There may be people, places, situations that God has placed on your heart. Get informed. Only the information required to pray. It might be calling a family member or a friend. Simply ask, how can I pray for you today? It could be sitting and listening carefully with someone, a friend, getting all the facts together. Know specifically what you are praying for. Be careful that you don't fall into gossip. Simply ask, how can I pray for you? We don't need to know everything, but it does help to know what to pray for. The second one is get inspired. Engage with God's word. Be inspired by what God's purpose is here. Pete Gregg says in the book that he had a friend challenge him as he was praying for his boys. They advised him to find out why they were created in the first place, a calling placed on their lives. God knit them together in his wife's womb for a reason. Pete started asking God what he, God the Father, wanted for his boys, rather than Pete telling God, oh, please bless my boys, keep them safe, keep them good. When he started praying for his boys with the promises in mind. They would grow in stature and wisdom. His focus changed from vague to purposeful. So what is God saying to you for those who are unwell, for the unbelieving friend or family member, for the places that come to mind where there is unrest? Stop in the silence. Wait. Listen. Be purposeful in prayer. Number three, get indignant. Engage with your heart. When we see God at work, it gives us more confidence to feel indignant and purposeful with our prayers. We pray with authority and no longer timidly. We plead with the Master with confidence, but also with a reverence appropriate to us as God's people. How do we do that? Pray believing that God is at work, that God is hearing you, that God will act. Pray with a full faith in Him who can do the unimaginable. Fourthly, get in sync. Engage with the saints. One of the keys in prayer is to join with all of God's people in the Amen, expressing the same desires. Praying together as a church is so important. There is a power in united intercession for others. Acts 4 tells us of a prayer meeting regarding being warned to stop preaching. Peter and John came to inform the church, and immediately they raised their voices in prayer, and as a result, the place where they met shook, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the word was spoken boldly. There is so much power in prayer when we come together as a united people on behalf of others. Prayer is powerful. Do you believe that? Prayer not only connects us with the Lord, but allows us to come before Him and intercede, standing in the gap for those around us. Often when we face sickness, financial problems, uncomfortable situations, or even praying for others, we can send up those SOS prayers and they're okay, hoping that He'll intervene. Sometimes we don't see Him act the way that we want Him to. And so we stop. We just simply give up. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. This verse encourages believers to make intercessory prayer a priority, seeking God's help for others, and then remember, express gratitude. Thank Him always. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Praying for others fosters a sense of community and healing, emphasizing the powerful impact of righteous, earnest prayers. Colossians 1:9, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Persistent prayer for others, as seen in this verse, seeks God's guidance for them, desiring spiritual growth and wisdom in understanding His will. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. The call to pray in the Spirit and persistently intercede for all believers emphasizes the importance of a continuous and vigilant prayer life. Philippians 1:3-4, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make requests for all of you with joy. Expressing gratitude and joy in prayer for others fosters a positive and uplifting atmosphere, creating a sense of unity and love within community. And 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and honoured wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. This verse highlighting the reciprocal nature of prayer, encouraging believers to pray for one another and for the spread of God's message. So again, I ask the question, who is God placing on your mind to pray for? What do you know already about their situation so that you, right now, can pray purposefully? If you don't know, then it's simply just lifting their name before God and asking Him to meet their deepest need right now. There may be some scripture that is leading you to pray, how to pray. If appropriate, you may want to tell the people that you're praying for that you felt led to pray for them this morning. Maybe asking what they require for you as you intercede for them. Then keep praying. Set reminders on your phones or on your calendar. Hold them up to the Lord as your act of love. Then listen to the heart of God. Sometimes the Lord has a way of helping us to be the answer to our own prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts this morning, seeking your guidance and blessing for all those around us. May our prayers be filled with love, compassion, and a genuine desire for the well-being of others. Strengthen our faith as we intercede on behalf of our friends, our family, our church, our world. May you reign in our lives and through our prayers. In Jesus' name.